the opportunity this week to sit with a group of our community leaders at a meeting as to what we can do to better our community. And they asked me to say a few words about what made this church go from that little church beside of the road to a church of 350 that were here on Easter Sunday morning. What did I attribute that to? What I just told you. We're not interested in making points in people's lives. That's not why we're here as a church. Not why I'm a pastor. That's not what our philosophy is. We're not here to make points in your life. We're here to make a difference in your life. We want you to have a faith-based relationship with Jesus Christ that is not religion, it's not tradition. It makes a difference in your life so that when the storms come, so that when you have problems in your marriage, so that when you have issues with your children, so that when all this that life throws out at you, you have someone that you can depend on and you're in a relationship with Him. When your job goes south, when whatever it is that the world buffets you with, you have something that makes a difference. It's not about what you wear. It's not about all the points that people want to make. It's about a faith-based relationship. And our goal in these messages is to move you from entry level into that upper room of faith. Last week, we discussed that upper room faith has to face our fears. This is one of the steps. And in our fears, usually our fears are based on the fear of pain. I'm afraid to get involved in church. I'm afraid to trust Christ because of the pain that it causes me. The people, the men that I work with will, you know, they'll mock me. And I'm afraid because of change. I can't become a Christian because it would just change my life. You'd be amazed how much it'll change your life for the better, not for the worse. I've never met one person that said, "I hate it that I got saved." But I've met hundreds of thousands that says, "I'm so glad I got saved and I trusted Christ as my Savior because it made a difference in my life." Most Christians, most churches are about making points. They want to tell you all the things they're against. Well, I'm going to tell you the one thing we're for. That's you trusting Christ as your Savior and it making a difference in your life. With that said, when it comes to facing your fears, most people think that faith is this, well, I jump out of the boat. They take Peter, and I make this great big step, and I just trust God to let me walk on water. That's their picture of what faith is. And most people think that churches that are making all these awesome steps and leaps of faith are the ones that have, you know, well, they do the miraculous because they have big faith. Faith that has fears that are substantiated has five principles that you consider before making decisions and step of faith, whether it's in your marriage, whether it's in your family, whether it's in the church, which is what we've been dealing with, whether it is in your career, whether it's you young people that are graduating, getting ready to make a step of faith and take on the world and an occupation, whether it's the marriage that you're contemplating and planning. Everybody has risk. You got in your car and came here this morning, that's a risk. Especially some of the people in this room, I know the way they drive. So, you know, it's a risk. Life is all about risk. And so one of the things that we have to realize is there's a fear of risk, there's a fear of change, there's a fear of pain, and what is it going to do? And the five principles, we give you two of them last week. One was you got to get the facts before you can make decisions in life, before you can make these steps of faith, before you can move to that upper room. You want to always get the facts. And we talked to you about this is a book of facts, absolute truth. And there's where you need to get the answers. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And so we have to get the facts before we can make decisions. And so many of us make decisions that are based on lies from the enemy rather than getting the facts. Well, I don't believe there's a God. We heard somebody say that this morning. You know, I don't remember where I was at. Michael had the opportunity to speak with someone that was an atheist, and I don't believe there's a God. And so we know better because we have a book of facts. Whether we believe it, you know, there's an old saying, well, I believe it and that settles it. Let me tell you a little something. It's settled whether you believe it or not. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. And so we have to have the facts before we can make decisions, no matter what it is, in a church or in life, in marriage, in a career, whatever. We have to get the facts. The second principle is we've got to count the cost. I know people that do some silly things and don't ever count the cost. They don't even think about what it's going to cost them. We have folks here get involved in 100 different things, not even realize, I don't have enough time in my life for all that. That's not counting the cost. You've got to consider what it costs you in time and money and effort before you get involved in church. What's it going to cost you in your reputation by making sound decisions? And so you've got to count the cost. The third principle that we do everything here on is the principle of preparation. There's a principle of information, a principle of evaluation, and a principle of preparation. The Bible says the simple believe every word in Proverbs 14:15. Now you think about this. The simple believe every word, but the prudent or the wise, consider well his steps. In other words, you plan, you prepare. And we always have to think about, as a church, why are we doing what we're doing? What are we doing it, and why are we doing it? We have to consider, and where are you going? In this ministry, where are we going with what we're trying to do here? What's the reasoning behind it? Because in reality, and I told you this last week, we have only two primary goals as a church. Two, that's it. Keep it simple, stupid. That's my philosophy. I can't handle more than two goals. You say, well, what are those? Reaching lost people and discipling those we reach. That's the only reason we're a church. All the other stuff is just collateral. It's just stuff that's white noise. But there's so many churches get focused on the white noise and never reach the lost and don't disciple the ones they reach. They get focused over here on the color of the pews. They get focused on all the activities. They get focused on all the different stuff. And they forget that their main purpose ought to be reaching lost people and discipling those they reach, making a difference in their life. And so with that, we have to realize, you know, I tell people all the time, God gave you a brain. You need to use it. And with that, we have to stay focused. And we realize, I mean, I'll give you a little. We realize when that old in the old building where that we were not going to be able to reach more people. We had outgrown our facilities, and the gospel had come to a dead end. And so with that, we prepared for this building. And we made plans. And so we stepped out by faith and decided to build another building. We bought acres of property around us and tore down homes and moved by faith in preparation. We're obviously... We've realized that we're at capacity here. Somebody come in this morning and walking in the back door said, man, that's a good problem to have. It's hard to see to find a seat. That's a good problem. We're not there yet. But part of our preparation and our planning is to go to two services. Because we realize that if you stifle growth and stunt growth by not having enough seats, Folks will go somewhere, even to a dead church, where they can have a seat. It's a pretty simple, you know, thing to understand. And so, as our church has gotten larger and continues to grow, we have to prepare for that increase because we want to make a difference in people's lives. Our church through the years has changed the way we do business, the way that we conduct business, the way that we make decisions and how all that transpires. It's not 30 or 40 people doing all the work anymore. I can remember where if you got chosen to be on a board, you was going to do the work for whatever your position of leadership was around here. Ask Danny Pannell. Kevin Wells sitting here this morning, ask him. That when they were the chairman of the trustees, hey, you're the guy that's going to do all the work. That's why you're the chairman. We're not that way anymore. I can remember when the chairman of our board built the sound booth. If we wanted something done, can you make sure that happened? We're not a people of 30 or a church of 30 or 40 people doing all the work anymore. And it's just we've had to understand that we have to plan and prepare and get more people involved. One thing I learned in business, and I've been involved in business for almost 30 years, big business, millions and millions of dollars worth of business, was that you, in order to grow, you have to make decisions quick because opportunities will bypass you in business while you're still trying to make a decision. And that's one of the ways our church has evolved or grown is we're able to make quick decisions and able to move. You'll know why mom and pop businesses do so well. Somebody's able to make a decision. This is what we're going to do. Boom. You want to know why sometimes mom and pop businesses get to a certain point and they can't grow anymore? Because they can't make decisions. But you've got to be able to make quick decisions, whether it's in business, whether it's in church. And the fact of the matter is, you don't get stifled by bottlenecking decisions. And that's one of the things that God has blessed this church and this people with, is the ability to continue to grow by the way that we govern. We are not governed by committees. We have a board that sets policy and a budget, and decisions can be made within those policies and the leaders in their different areas. And I'm giving you a lot of this because there's a lot of people who don't understand what goes on around this place. And the fact of the matter is, we learn that committees stifle things. I'll tell you what I believe. I don't even believe they're scriptural. And the reason I don't believe that is because just ask Joshua and Caleb what a committee of 12 can do to a whole race of people for hundreds of years. It happens. And they wandered around one mountain. Around and around and around and around and around and around. And then they wouldn't go over into the promised land because 10 people of the 12 come back and say, we can't do that. We can't take that land. And so committees can kill a movement. And then that committee overruled God. When you go back and look at it, because God said you can do this, and they said, no, we can't. We pray here, we plan here, we prepare here, we evaluate and count the cost, we base our information on or base our decisions on good facts, because we understand that prayer and preparation go hand in hand. I've had people make comments to me before. Well, you all plan the Holy Spirit out of the service. You plan the Holy Spirit out of the preparation. No. What we do is plan the Holy Spirit into it and plan the Holy Spirit into the preparation. And I can tell you as a fact and that if you don't prepare and prevent of things and look at the plan for what can happen and prevent things from happening, Rick Warren says that you'll repair and repent over your decisions by not preparing and praying and moving forward. Then there is a principle of declaration. Every year in January, and all this may not be real interesting to you this morning, and that's okay. You'll learn a little bit about the church that you've become a part of. We believe in a principle of declaration. You say, what's that? One thing, and I'm currently learning it, is we need to announce our goals. I asked Michael, I said, I want a plaque or a piece of paper or something put in every room that we're a church that believes that there's going to be 2,000 people meeting here on a given Sunday morning in the future. You say, well, you're crazy. That's what they said when I said there'd be 400 here. Someone said, well, I stated we're going to have 400 here on Easter Sunday morning. And someone said to me, said, there's no way that'll ever happen. No, it didn't. And they came back and said, I told you so. They did. And I said, that's good. Because what that does is hold you accountable. If you declare your goal, then you have the opportunity for people to hold you accountable to that. But let me tell you a little secret, and I've said it all my life. It doesn't cost any more to shoot at eagles than it does at skunks, people. And if you set your goals down here, you'll probably hit them. I'd much rather set a goal of 400 and have 350 than set a goal of 250 and have 200. Declaring your goals in life. That's why it's important for you to declare to your family, here's what we're going to do as a family spiritually. Here's what we're going to do as a graduate. Here's what I'm going to do and when I'm going to do it and what the time frame is. Here's what I'm going to do in business and how soon we're going to do it. That's why they have 5-year plans. That's why they have 3-year plans. That's why they have master plans. Because you have to make a declaration of here's what we're going to do in business and how we're going to do it. People, you may think I'm crazy, but there will be 2,000 people at some point in time in meeting somewhere as a part of Big Branch Church, and I don't doubt it at all. I don't have any doubts about it. As our church grows, we have realized that it can happen. You know what big goals are? Because you've got a big God. And a big God can do things that we just don't realize that He can do. And when we announce our goals, when it builds faith, those of you that didn't think there'd be 400 people, I'm guessing was squirming Easter Sunday morning when we were standing around the walls trying to get seats in for everybody to have a place. You see, because when you announce your goals, it builds excitement, it builds accountability, it builds buy-in. You begin thinking, yes, we can do that. That is a step of faith, of upper room faith. And I believe I can help and I can get involved. And it builds commitment. As our church grows and realizes what has happened, it may not happen instantaneously. But if we can have 400 this year at some point in time, maybe it's 600 next year. Maybe it's 800 the year after. Maybe it's 1,000 the year after that. And then the first thing you know, there's 2,000 people meeting somewhere under the ministries of Big Branch Church on any given Sunday morning or during the week. It can happen, but we have to believe. We have to get the facts. We have to count the cost. And we have to plan for it to happen. That's why we tell you, if you sign up for something, show up. This is a volunteer army. And when you tell someone you're going to do something, it's important that you do it. It's important that your involvement, you're faithful in it. You know what the first thing a steward of God is? Is faithful. Because he that is faithful in little things, I'll make you ruler over much. And you've got to be faithful in the things of God and in what you're trying to do. And you say, well, I just don't know about all this, you know, what you're under. I can remember, and there's four people, and wherever Kevin is would have been five, when five of us met in an office over there in the back of the room and just prayed there'd be 100. And they can substantiate it. We begged God for 100 people in that old building, never knowing what was going to transpire and happen here on Easter Sunday morning at 350 people. If you'd have told me then, I said, you're crazy. But because we counted the cost and we prepared, God made that possible. And it's the same way with your family, with your life, with your business, with everything you do. There's these principles that you have to attribute to faith to help you make decisions through life. And there's a principle of initiation. It requires us to let go of the old and grasp onto the new. We have to realize that we can no longer, and I'm using the church this morning because these are the news in each of your lives, that we can no longer act like a small church. We can no longer know everyone sitting in the pews or the seats here. It's an impossibility on any given Sunday. And if you complain about, I just don't know anybody anymore. Do you know who's sitting beside you? Do you know who's sitting beside them, maybe? If you don't, then why don't you introduce yourself and say, hey, how are you? We've come to realize we can't. I don't know everybody here, know your name. I know faces, but I don't know everybody here. And it's not important that you know everybody. It's important that you know somebody. And we believe that small groups and circles are better than rows. And the fact of the matter is that we can do the same things that we've always done as a church by having small group dinners. We can have small group fellowships. We can do the things as community in a small group that really we can't do as a big church anymore. And that's okay. But facing our fears and facing that change and that growth is part of upper room faith. I compare it to a trapeze artist. You ever think about it? Same difference. Here's somebody on a platform, he's got a hold of a perfectly good trapeze, and he gets right out in the middle, and at some point he lets loose of both. That's where faith is. You got to let go of the old and reach for the new. Reach for where God is leading you in your career. Reach to where God is leading you in the things of life. Reach for the new things of faith, whatever those decisions are, by turning loose sometimes of the old. And it's risk. But it's based on evaluation, preparation, initiation. It's based on information. And when you base your decisions of faith, then that's not some haphazard, I'm jumping out and hope Jesus lets me walk on water. Got to let go of the past sometimes and have the faith in the middle and grab God's plan for the future in your life. As a pastor, I can tell you I've had to let go of things around here. I told Amanda the other day, I said, that must be I'm getting rid of some of my OCD feelings. And I've turned things over to Michael. And I've turned things over to Chad and Kelly and Amanda and Linda. I tell Linda all the time, that's not my monkey, that's not my circus, you deal with it. There's just things that as we grow, you know, Nancy and Tom is a prime example. All you all can guess. There was a day that if somebody was recruited for something around here, I did it. I don't do that anymore. Because as we grow as a church, I'm going to learn to let go and reach for what God has us for the future. Why? So that we can reach 2,000 people with the gospel of Jesus Christ, not to build an empire, but to make a difference in people's lives and reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ and disciple those that we reach for. Our board has come to realize that they can't perform all the meaningful tasks that used to be done around here. They make decisions, and good decisions, and sound decisions, and set policy, and set a budget. And then all those people that are leading on those different areas to where they have, they can move with their ministry and move forward and step out by and do what God tells them to do. But as we grow, we are constantly moving to second and third tier leadership and spiritually minded and missionally minded people that are willing to move forward to the goal of reaching 2,000 people with the gospel. That's what they're doing. That's what they're empowered to make those decisions and move forward. But you want to know what happens? Most churches get bottlenecked right there. And it happens right here. I got to do this, and I got to make sure this, and I've got to the place that I've learned to trust those 15 people over in that room, knowing that they're not going to saw the limb off behind me, because they have in mind the same goal. They have in mind the same two goals of reaching lost people and discipling those that we reach out to. They're not afraid of change. They're not afraid of the pain that it's going to cause. And they understand the risk. And they strive to help us develop that second and third tier of leadership as a church. And most leaders and most churches and most businesses, if they don't make those decisions, it stops at that bottleneck. And they don't realize the more you delegate, the greater the authority, not the less the authority. The greater the responsibility, not the less responsibility. We as a church, if we continue to step out by faith and continue to grow, and everything that happens here with the pastors and the leaders of our church grows our church. And it doesn't diminish what we do as an individual. It empowers you to do more and more when you live by faith. It empowers the teachers in the room over here to lead those kids to Christ, to reach for those parents that are part of those children's lives that aren't a part of Big Branch Church. It allows us to reach more people with the gospel of Jesus Christ and not less. There's an old saying that if a shepherd sneezes, sheep catch cold. What's that mean? It means that you as an individual have to be careful about what you worry about because of the fact it magnifies itself in the people. And if you're not willing to let go of the past and reach out to the future by faith and set goals for your family, for your life, for your mission, for whatever it is that God has called you to do, that everybody that's under your position of leadership will have that same issue, that same fear. And we've got to let go of our fears and face them to move forward. Principles of faith apply in life. These principles of faith apply in church. They apply in your business. They apply in your ministry. They apply in your career. And we must face our fears. We must get those facts. We must count the cost. We must plan our steps. We must cast vision. We must let go and leap out. As a church, if you suspect to live by faith, You've got to suspend some time in midair, reaching with no safety net. That's the part that's faith. We don't talk a lot, and I don't have these kind of messages and conversations often, but I watch our board every year sit down and put a budget together and say, here's what we done last year, and here's what we're going to do this year, and pray over that, and where that money that you give goes. Hundreds of thousands of dollars now. Our budget this year is over 350 or 70. I don't monitor it a whole lot. Once it's done, it's done. I just believe God's going to send it in. Over that many hundred thousands of dollars. And I watch him say, we can do more than that. By faith, raise it higher. Raise it higher. Raise it higher. And over the past 10 years, I've watched our budget go from $70,000 a year to over $300,000 a year. Knowing that whoever's sitting in a pew here this morning that doesn't know Christ, that's the end result of what we're trying to do. Knowing that for those missionaries, Todd, over in wow, right now, just a quandary of a mess in Rome, all the people that are flooding from the Middle East, reaching him one at a time. Watching John Faulks, knowing that he's taking the gospel to preachers and teaching them so that they can take the gospel to those folks in Africa. That's why we do what we do. That's why as a church that we promote you to get involved. And this morning, bring it down on your level. Take it out of the church realm. Maybe it's just your leap of faith is your next step. Maybe yours is trusting Christ, as the young lady did last week. Maybe your next step is, I trusted Christ, now it's believer's baptism. Maybe your next step is, I want to become an owner. I want to become a part of the ministries here, watching what God is doing. Watching people trust Christ, see their lives transformed. That's what it's all about. Just one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. We have got to get to the place that we apply these principles, that we're not afraid to face our fears. Because if we do this, then God's going to do this because we've prepared ourselves. And we have to get to the place that we're not afraid of the pain. We're not afraid of the change. We're not afraid of the risk because we know that we have prayerfully prepared to step out by faith and move to that next place that God leads us. Psalms 56, verses 3 and 4 says, "Who, whenever I'm afraid, I will trust in you. In you, God, I will praise His word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear." There's a verse in Exodus, and I found it this morning, and I wrote it so I wouldn't. She can't have it, but it speaks of people that are afraid, and it says sometimes you need to quit praying and move forward. Theirs was crying out. It's the same word that we, in the Hebrew, is prayer. Sometimes we've got to just quit praying. And I'm not being facetious. But we're going to move forward. We're going to take that step. What's that look like in your life? I don't know what your next step is. But sometimes you've got to quit saying, I'll pray about it. I'm going to do it. because God has troubled me and convicted me about that need to do it. Sometimes it may be something as simple as, I'm going to take that risk and get involved. I was hurt before. We've all been hurt somewhere before. But I'm going to get involved. I don't know what, when, where it relates to you, but I know it relates to everybody in this room. Everybody in this room has some next step that God is speaking to you about this morning. And if you will go through those principles and get the facts and evaluate and count the cost, and you'll make a plan and announce that plan and that goal to other people that will hold you accountable, and then you'll initiate by letting go and reaching out to what God is, where He's moving you, I'll promise you God will honor that step of faith. He'll honor it in your life. I'll never forget it, and I'll close with this story. Linda and I were sitting in Ocala, Florida, in a church probably once again this size. It'd probably seat 600 people, and they were in an old Kmart or Walmart building. And we had been there a few times, and this pastor was a young, energetic guy, and man, it was growing. The church was doing well. It was unreal. And he walked out on stage one morning and preached a message, and as he got ready to leave, he said, I need to make an announcement. He said, God has called me to the mission field, and I cannot get past that decision. He said, I don't know why. And announced that to his church. I haven't followed up in the last 6 or 8 months to see where he's at and how that's all going. But one thing I know, when God is dealing with you about a step of faith in your life, moving from one of those entry-level P's to something that God is calling you to do, you're not going to get peace of mind and peace at heart until you do what God's calling you to do. Yours this morning may be salvation. Christ is calling you to trust Him. Believe that He died for you and paid the price for your sins. You are not going to get peace in your life until you respond to the Holy Spirit of God and trust Him as your Savior. You want to know what that's called? Pursuit. God will pursue after you until you make those decisions. I pray this morning that whatever it is, that through these last two messages of facing your fears, that you respond accordingly to what God is calling you to do. Let's stand. Father God, I believe that there is folks in this room that You are pursuing about salvation. You are pursuing them lovingly about their need to trust You as their personal Savior. And I pray this morning that as they're sitting here contemplating that, just thinking about it, no pressure, that You show them Your love above and beyond what they comprehend whenever You died for them on the cross. I believe there's folks here that their next step may be water baptism. Their next step may be becoming a part of Big Branch Church. Their next step may be something as simple as reading the Bible, getting the facts. I believe there's folks in business that You're moving them to go to the next level, to the next step. I believe as our church You have pushed us beyond the preface. We're out in uncharted territory. I know, God, that as You move us that way, we want to be prepared and planned. We want to be ready. We want to be in the middle, in the center of Your will, doing exactly what You want us to do. I pray whatever those needs are in a crowd this size, the Holy Spirit of God, that folks are just willing to pray that simple prayer, Father, I trust You, and I'm going to do what You want me to do. That calling, maybe, to China, that calling that sometimes we know is going to cause pain, going to cause fear. It's going to cause change. It's going to require risk. I pray that folks will make those decisions. Now everybody's head's bowed. No one's looking around. Are you the one here this morning that would say, Preacher, I am the one that you spoke to. Maybe multiple folks in this room. I've never trusted Christ. I don't know that if I died today, I'd go to heaven, but I would like for you to pray for me, Preacher. Is there anyone to just slip your hand right up and put it back down and say, that's me? Anyone? I'm not going to come and grab you. Nobody else is. We don't believe it or do it. But I'll pray for you sincerely and honestly. Anyone? Pray for me, Preacher. I've never trusted Christ. I don't know heaven's my home. Pray for me. Anybody? Anybody at all? Not been a message of salvation, but maybe the Lord spoke to you about your need of a Savior. Anybody? Anybody on my right? We'll wait just a second while you're thinking about it. Pray for me, Preacher. Anybody? Here in the center, pray for me. Over on my left, your right, anybody? You may be here this morning and you're a Christian and God's weighed heavy on your heart about decisions that you need to make, things you need to do, ministry you need to be involved in, something within your business, within your home life, within your family, within your marriage, within your kids, within your graduating process, where you're going and moving next. God's speaking to you about that and making that step of faith. Why don't you respond? Say, yes, Lord, I'll surrender, I'll trust you. Maybe you want to come here at this altar this morning and pray about it and have somebody pray with you. I don't know what that need is, but please respond. God, have your way in all that's been said and done and in the hearts of everybody here. Believing these are some of the most important principles in life, living by faith, not just making irrational decisions, but applying the principles of your word to the steps of a good man, of a good woman, are ordered by the Lord. Have your way as we sing in Jesus' name. Amen.